Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. As always, I do encourage you to follow along in your pew Bible. But before we read this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word demonstrates your precious grace in our lives. You want us to know what's going on. You want us to know how to follow you. You want to give us strength for today and for tomorrow. The lessons that you've taught us through your Holy Spirit has sustained us in so many different ways. And so we pray that this reading of your word also works to sustain our spirits, to help us to grow, to become more yours. Pray also for your spirit, your mercy upon the sermon. May it be used for your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. Hear now God's word. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. Excuse me. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You've heard what baby birds do, what mother birds do to babies to help them fly. They kick them out of the nest. Either you fly or you don't. As I was thinking about this passage, this image came to mind. But I also thought of a man. Paul Earle. Many of you know Paul and know that Paul has passed not that long ago. When I first came here to Trinity, Paul wasn't coming here yet. But as many people who are curious of the new pastor, they like to see what they look like, what they sound like, all that, you know. So eventually Paul did come, and he ended up staying for a bit with us. And all of you were excited to see Paul again. All of you were so happy to see him in the church, and you embraced him, and Paul really loved it. And he loved it here. And I too, as everyone else who meets Paul, really appreciate Paul's spirit and Paul's vivaciousness and even Paul's occasional mischievousness. Paul was a very, very fun guy. But then he came to me after being here for a few months and he said, "I'm leaving. I'm heading out west." He ended up going to Oklahoma. As a pastor who has served in the church for about 20 years, I have seen people come and go throughout the churches that I have served. And pastors tend to have a bit of an ego problem. Most pastors do. I think most people do. That when people come, we're so excited and we're happy because, boy, they must like us. They're staying, you know, I'm a good pastor and I keep them here, you know, that sort of idea. But when people leave, it's, what did I do wrong? Did I say something wrong? Have I failed in some sort of way? And we feel bad when people go. And when Paul left, I felt bad. You know, but though I have, in the 20 years that I've been pastor, driven people away, I have made mistakes. Every pastor will at some point and do it again. There's also something else going on. When people come, they come not for me. They come for Christ. They stay for Christ. They stay because the love that they experience. They stay for the support, for the guidance. They stay for the prayers. They stay because they experience Christ's love in some way. And that's what we want. But the neat thing about Jesus Christ is that when we look at the history of the church and what the church looked like, starting from Abraham and going all the way to Revelation, we see that how the church worships Jesus and how the church worships God has changed over the years. When Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when they would meet Jesus or meet God, wherever it is that they would meet God in that moment, they would build an altar. They would stack stones, they would sacrifice an animal upon it, they would praise God for that moment. Do you remember the moment that Jacob was fleeing and he was going away from his brother, and he laid down and he rested his head on a rock and he had a vision? Do you remember Jacob's vision? There was a ladder that angels were climbing up and down from heaven on that ladder. And so what did Jacob do? Jacob anointed that rock and said that this is a place where God is. This is a sacred place. And Jacob worshiped God in that moment. Now, when the people of Israel then escaped Egypt with God's help, they created something to worship God with. You remember what that was? A tent, a tabernacle. And so God went wherever they were. And whenever they stopped to rest, they put up the tabernacle and they would worship God in that place. Now, this happened for quite a long time. And the ark was the symbol of God's presence and the actuality of God's presence. And then when they came and settled into a land, something different happened. They created a temple. God was no longer wherever they were. God was in a specific place, and the temple represented that place. Now, that idea of God being in one place, and if you wanted to worship God, you had to go to the temple to worship God, in some ways, this still existed today. The building has become a representation of God's presence. But that's not entirely accurate anymore, nor was it accurate in the time of the temple either. For God is wherever you are. And the neat thing about that is that God is wherever you are not also. One of my favorite sayings that I've learned over the years is that there is no such place as a God-forsaken place. There is no such situation as a God-forsaken situation. That God is present wherever there is. As a pastor, it took me a long time to learn that. I have made mistakes, like I said, and driven people away from this congregation or whatever congregation I may have been part of at the time. But the thing is that is too an opportunity for people to experience God's love in a different setting. I think about John the Baptist in this story. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing, he said, "Look, Lamb of God. And immediately when the two disciples heard, look, the Lamb of God, they left John. They've been following John up to this point. John has a pretty good ministry going. John is influential. He's doing God's work. He's building a church. He's building a following. And he says, look, the Lamb of God. And they left John immediately. He drove two of his followers away. And I imagine first, several years ago, when I preached this before, I imagine John was looking at the back of his former disciples, sad that his church was dwindling. But I've come to see how wrong I was. John was said about himself and about Jesus when John's disciples came up to him and said, look, Jesus' disciples are baptizing just like you are, and people are leaving to go follow him. And John said, I must become less so that he becomes greater. When John the Baptist saw these two disciples leave him to follow Jesus, and John was staring at their back, I imagine a smile on his face. For Jesus is one that doesn't call us to a solitary place, but calls us wherever we are to do ministry wherever we are. When I heard that Paul Earl was leaving, going to Oklahoma, sadness and guilt set in first. But after prayer, there was an excitement for whatever Paul Earl was called to do in that place. And at his funeral, I got to hear that during Paul Earl's time in Oklahoma, which was about, what, 5-6 years or so? He had distributed over 700 to 800 crosses. He had showed God's love to many people who he had encountered. He had changed the life of the pastor that he went to, whose church he went to there. Just because people go doesn't mean they're leaving the church. It means that God's calling them to a new part, to a new place, to a new ministry. It gives me comfort to know that we are able to worship God wherever we are. And wherever we're called to, we can worship God and serve God in those moments. One of my favorite stories, and this probably doesn't surprise you, is of Martin Luther. Martin Luther and the stories of him helped me to realize that this is a wonderful place to worship, but it is not the end-all, be-all of places to worship. One of Martin Luther's most favorite places to wrestle with God and to wrestle with his devotion to God and to wrestle with his love for God and to worship God was none other than the toilet. There are stories about Martin Luther sitting on the pot and praising God for the ability to poo. He praised God for his presence with him, even in those moments. When John saw his disciples walked away, he worshiped and he praised God. Because these two disciples heard what John was saying, that Christ is the Messiah, and to go wherever Christ leads. Jesus leads us beyond this place. Christ leads us to places where we had never expected to be. Wherever we are, I pray that we worship Christ. Wherever we might go, I pray that we follow God's leading. However tomorrow might look, I rejoice because Jesus' hands will be there. And we will be those hands and those feet for others. I leave you with this benediction today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Lord, we thank you for the ability that you have given us to walk. And we pray that our feet go where you call them to. That our mouth proclaims the message that you desire us to share. That our actions clearly show your love to one another. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go in peace.